It's time for some Q&A with Jet Theory Radio. Format of the show today because there are no guests and no Murren here at JTX Studios recording the podcast. It's just myself. We're taking the approach this episode to just have like a Q&A, let you know a little bit of behind the scenes about the podcast, how it works, how we, you know, put together all the fanciness of it, and take it from there. So we received some questions online. We had some people submit to the hashtag JTR questions over on the Twitter. We had some people asking on the fan page on Facebook, hey, got some questions for you. So I thought we would just dive right on into those, and through answering the questions, we'll tell a little bit more about what happens behind the scene and take it from there. First one comes from Jay on Facebook. What is your favorite / least favorite things about your hometown, Normal, Illinois? There's a lot of things I do like about it. A lot of things, you know, I don't like, but it's just like with any place you live. There's ups and downs, there's good, there's bad, all around every corner. The thing that I personally miss most about Bloomington Normal is the people. I mean, hands down, if I had to pick one thing, it would be that. If I could find a way to move all family and friends there in Bloomington down to here, I would, but unfortunately reality and just won't let that happen. So I actually had the chance to go and visit back in October and got to meet up with some people, got to catch up, and it was a really fun feeling, and it really helped me realize, you know, what I really missed about people, what was unique about the town, about the friends I have that I missed. And it's something that, you know, some of my favorite things about the town. Least favorite things is actually one reason why I moved over here to Austin. It's a small town, and just I could not step into anywhere without running into somebody I know. I go out down the street to the gas station, I could go to the store, just everywhere there was somebody I was running into, which is nice, but there were some days I wanted to just, you know, not be social, not see anybody, just wanted to go out and do what I needed to do, run an errand or something like that, but couldn't escape the small town feel. Here in Austin, when I try to do that, I literally can spend weeks without running into somebody I know. In fact, there's been only one time that I've run into somebody I know while I've been out and about randomly, and it was, weirdly enough, at the DMV. I ran into an old friend, Stacy, who moved down here to Austin, she moved down to Austin, moved out to California, and now she had been just timed out just right where we moved back to Austin right around the same time period. So she had to get new license information. I needed to get my Texas license information. And weirdly enough, that's been the only time I've randomly run into somebody like that. Next question from John. Do you research before a podcast? This is one I really like, and I really... It can come across during the podcast where we're talking with everybody and we get into things where it appears like we don't know what we're talking about. And I'll just poke fun at Murren, who can't poke fun back. But he's the one that typically doesn't know what he's talking about. So before each show, we'll decide with the guest what the debate topic will be. And we'll work it out and we'll hammer out who's got what for sides or, you know, where we're going to be coming from. Just so that way we can research and know during the debate part what's happening. The rest of the podcast is completely unscripted. I've got a list here. With each show that we have, I've got these cue cards that I keep track of everything. So I'll have the episode number, the guest name, and then off to the side, the different topics and debates that we'll be talking about. Just so that way, I know, during the course of the conversation, sometimes it comes across where we are able to move in between the subjects that we want to talk about beforehand, and we can move in between them very well. Sometimes there's a hard transition. I'm pretty sure if you've listened to any of the podcasts at all, you'll see and hear when those transitions happen. So we go into some territory where we know something about a subject matter and we want to talk about it, but through the course of conversation, we run into things where it's like, well, do we really know anything about this? Do we really know the details? And that's where Gail steps in, and he's got his phone out or he's got a computer up, and he does the research and tries to pull up the facts as quickly as he can. Now, I'm pretty sure, like, it'd be nice, like, in retrospect, if we could just stop the podcast completely, research everything, and then come across as if we know something. But that just doesn't feel true to how I want to do this. Like, it's a natural conversation. And to me, there's nothing wrong with sitting there and saying, hey, I don't know about something, and then learning about it, as opposed to trying to sit there and come across as if you're the expert in this thing, this subject, this whatever we're talking about. So do we research before a podcast? We certainly do. But sometimes we get into subjects that we don't really know what we're talking about, that we didn't expect to be talking about. Okay. Another one from Jay. Would you rather give up all Nine Inch Nails music and products for the next 15 years or make out with Gail Murren for 2 solid hours? As much of a fan as I am, I'd be willing to give up all Nine Inch Nails not to make out with Gail Murren for 2 hours. Next question comes from Kimmy from Twitter with the hashtag JTR questions. She wrote down, who's your favorite Star Trek TNG character? Well, the Star Trek TNG is probably my favorite. Star Trek TNG being Star Trek The Next Generation is probably one of my favorite Star Trek series out of all of them done. Terrific cast, terrific storylines. A little rocky the first couple seasons when you go to watch it again, but then it hits its groove and it works really, really well. Out of all the characters, the one, and I remember this from when I was little, Data was a character that I always found fascinating and always found interesting. He really looked at everything in a very logical way and really tried to understand where people are coming from. And that's something I don't think, you know, like a lot of people, you can be lined up with all the facts in the world in your head, but you're trying to understand human emotion. You're trying to understand how to empathize with people, how to be sympathetic toward people, how to, like, just process, how to laugh, you know? And Data is a, you know, not having that really fascinated, it really fascinated me just by the abilities and, like, the stories that they did with that. Like, there's one clear memory for me is when I was watching it when I was just a kid. I think my uncle was, like, babysitting and stuff like that. My parents were away out for the night or something. And Star Trek happened to come on the TV. Since it was syndicated back then, individual stations could pick it up and, you know, essentially just run it any time that they could. And TNG happened to fit in, like, the 9, 10 o'clock on a Saturday night category for the stations around the area I was at, right outside the St. Louis area. And it got to be a treat to, like, stay up and watch it. And it was, like, a cliffhanger episode where Data was in the Wild West from years, you know, from, like, oh, I couldn't even tell you, like, what season or what episode number it was or anything like that. I'm not that much of a Trekkie. But I just clearly remember Data sitting there and being a gunslinger in the Old West. And it came down to a fight between him and Worf having to have a shootout because there was something, I think there was something wrong with Data's programming or there was something that caused him to have a few screws loose. And want to fight and shoot Worf. So yeah, just Data, I think, would be the best one. Plus, I also think he probably had the better part out of the TNG movies, at least that I enjoyed, because he had those moments with the emotion chip where he had to sit there and now they finally, like, took the leap and gave the character this emotion chip to work with, and he had to face up all these different range of emotions. I know probably the more expected pick out of all that, or probably a lot of people's picks, would have to be Picard. He's not mine. He's a good character, played well by a terrific actor. Sir Patrick Stewart is great at you know, pretty much everything he does. I know he's definitely inspired me to drink Earl Grey tea, and it is a treat every time I go into a coffee shop to order a tea Earl Grey hot. And the barista always will finish off the last word if they're a Trekkie, if they know anything. And they just look and, you know, look at my bald head and they're like, oh, hey, it's kind of funny. All right. We also had another, there was another question where Jay had submitted to us on Facebook. It was the second half of the very first question that I had talked about. And the second half of it was, what made you move to Austin? Now, there is a long, long, in-depth story I can get into about that and how things were. But I'm not really going to get into so many of the details. If you ever see me in person, I can talk about it then. But it's not something I really want to broadcast out too much. We actually, a little fun behind-the-scenes factoid. We had recorded a version of this Q&A episode with James and with Gail, and it got really intense getting into the details. And there was in listening to the podcast myself, that episode, it wasn't fun. Like there was no enjoyment out of it. So then you know, decided, okay, we're going to record it like this. And each podcast, we record, and I've got it through the editing process. I listen to it about 2 or 3 times per episode, every single episode. And if I'm just not having fun or if I'm not enjoying it, it comes across as very boring. And I just don't think people are going to enjoy it either. Like a little bit of like what Jet Theory Radio is, it's like what entertains me, I want other people to be entertained by, or, you know, people who entertain me, I want on the podcast. And so that way people can hear them and see that same, you know, level of enjoyment, like the same curiosity for why I think these people are interesting. So when we recorded the original podcast episode with all of us, it didn't feel very right. And it felt very strained. So the shortened version of the story about what made me move to Austin, started probably about a year before I moved to Austin. I'd just gotten out of a relationship. I had this level of anxiety in me. Like, the feeling was that I couldn't believe that this was happening. Like, it was a reality I didn't think I'd have to face, kind of thing. And then through the process of getting my own place, signing a new lease, trying to essentially reemerge from that breakup and from that failed relationship, trying to find out a little bit more about what I want to do with life. Like, there was sort of the expectation in the relationship that it'd probably be, you know, there wouldn't be any major moves or anything like that. At the time, I had 2 really great jobs. Things were doing okay. They were steady, and it was a happy life, but it was just felt a little bit like something was a little bit off. So then after the breakup, you know, I had that level of anxiety, that feeling of, I can't believe this is happening. And in the process of getting over it, I talked with some people, and I had a good friend of mine give some very clear advice. Because she had just gotten out of a relationship, and I just said, hey, what tricks do you have for getting over this? Because really, I'd been in many relationships, and I knew essentially it's just time. But it had been so long since I had been out of one that I was just like, what do you do to like stay motivated, keep things going? And she said, you just essentially have to start saying yes to things. Yes to going out. Yes to doing certain things. Yes to trying new things. Stuff that you never would have thought to have done before. You just now have to say yes to it. Get out there. See what clicks. See what works. So I did a bunch of everything. There was a phase of time where I bleached my hair blonde before just cutting it all off and doing that. I tried out for plays. I got really big into exercising, just trying to figure out something to like get my mind off things, and walking on the treadmill for an hour each day after work felt like it would get that process going. I started cooking, and that's really developed into something, because nowadays There isn't really too much of anything that I eat that comes from a box, whereas before it was always be like box mac and cheese dinners, frozen pizzas, you know, really simple, basic kind of stuff. Now I spend, and this is really weird for me, I spend as much time like in the produce section picking up stuff as I do in any of the other sections of the grocery store. Never was the case there for me. I might have before just picked up like a bag of carrots before. Now I pick up carrots, onions, garlic, all sorts of fruits, veggies. I mean, just it's galore nowadays. Pretty much I got the overall, through the process of everything, I had friends very early after the breakup tell me, hey, move to Austin. I was like, I don't want to move. I just signed a lease for a year. I want to see, you know, I just can't up and leave myself. Like, I knew I was not in the right headspace for making a major move like that without getting past some of the things that you get past after being in a relationship. Fast forward to me deciding around the New Year's time, I had reached out to Gail and I was like, hey, what if I come to Austin for a visit? And I'd planned out to like go and visit like family in Colorado, go out to Vegas to see people. Like, I wanted this big grand road trip adventure because, you know, hey, why not just sit there in a car and just hit the road and just drive all over the country? When it came down to it and the what I could take time off for and everything, it just didn't work out. I ended up seeing my sister out in Arizona and came to Austin for a visit. So I spent a good like 3-4 days here in Austin. It was a 17-hour drive for me, 16-17-hour drive from Bloomington down to Austin. And during that drive here, I was just, you know, hey, I just taking a break from everything, you know. I'm on vacation. Let me just try to relax and just see what happens. Well, pretty much the moment I came down here, there were people saying, so why don't you move down? And I was like, I want to get a feel for the city. I want to see what it's like. And I did. I visited a lot of things. Like, it weirdly enough, like, I visited, like, grocery stores and stuff like that just to see what it was like down here. Just to see if there was anything that, like, compelled me or made me feel like Austin was the right pick if I were to move. And walking through things, hanging out with friends around here, it finally came to a point, you know, where I was getting asked it constantly. I finally just said, yeah, I'll move here. Fine. Sort of just to placate people and to stop having the question be asked of me. I was like, all right, I'll work out the details later. I'll move here. I'll just work out the details. Well, then on that drive home, because, you know, taking a car all the way down to Austin, I had to now drive all the way back up. So in driving all the way back home, I had plenty of time to sit there and think, is this what I want to do? Is, you know, leaving everything I have in Bloomington, uproot myself and try again in another town. Is this really good for me? Is this what I should do? And I came to the decision that it was, you know what, this is why I need to move down. There wasn't any one thing that really compelled me to move to Austin. I knew I had a good group of friends down here, so I had people to back me up and encourage me and to not make me sit there and feel lonely. Like, I didn't want to go to a place where I knew one person and that's it. Like, or a city where I knew no one. That kind of start, after everything that was going on in my mind, I was like, I don't need that. I want to have that good, solid group of friends here that can, you know, be there in case I, you know, can't find a job for a few months, that could give me a couch to sleep on kind of thing. And I had that opportunity. Gail had just bought a house. There was a spare room available. And it wasn't until October then of 2015 that I, was it 2015? Yeah, October 2015 that I moved down and made Austin my home. I'll say that through the process of moving, and it was pretty much like a long goodbye from the time that from March until October. It was a good, like, what, 5 months or so? 5-6 months where, you know, I'm seeing people probably for the last time for a while until I go back to visit again. Lots of the restaurants around there, you know, there is a somewhat unique, there are a few unique restaurants and dishes and stuff like that that I really like. You know, I wasn't going to be having that, but I was going to be having so much more variety going on in Austin. There was a lot of memories around every corner in Bloomington. Like, I could seriously just go down the street and I could point to, you know, part of the sidewalk where, oh, I remember tripping over this one time when I did something silly or stupid, or, you know, passing by a few houses and I could be like, oh, I used to live there. Oh, so-and-so used to live here. We used to walk down this way and do this over here. Like, there was so much memory in that town, which, it, you know, that's not a bad thing. That's, it's very, everything's very familiar. Everything's very homely. I felt that there. Going to a place, especially when I was on vacation, Austin, going to a place where that wasn't there, where everything was new. Everything was something, you know, to that has a story behind it or that can have a story attached to it, potentially, if I choose to make it happen. From that night of the breakup where I had that anxiety feeling, like, I can't believe this is happening to me, I slowly calmed that down and made that more of the my mantra, where it's like, you know, I came to Austin and I started doing things, hanging out with people, trying new foods, you know, having those moments of, I can't believe this has happened to me, turned from something that filled me with anxiety to now brings a smile to my face. Like, I really can't believe this is happening to me. This podcast. Never in a million years would I think to do this or to have the opportunity to do this until I came here, until it became a reality for me. Like, it's so, it overwhelms me with joy where before it used to wrap me in fear. Like, that thought, that feeling. And I enjoy that feeling. I enjoy being that way now. Like, I like the new experiences. I like meeting the new people. Like, it's been a trip, and, you know, I've got a great group of friends and they have great friends, and getting to know all them and just branching out like that on my own and meeting some new people as well on my own. It's so amazing to me. And it's something that I am so thankful that I made that choice to do that and to try something new like that. And just to say that yes, and to, you know, not leave and try that and just have that anxiety feeling like fill up with me. Like, I honestly, looking back, if I didn't have that year pretty much where I was just living on my own, where half the time I'm sitting there planning for a big move and the other half I'm, you know, saying yes to things, if I didn't have that time, I don't know what kind of person I would be right now. Like, I needed that time. I needed to work things out. I needed to, like, refreshen up my life, make things interesting again. And hey, here I am now, and feeling and doing really great. So when you ask what made me move to Austin, the experience, the people, everything, it just felt like this is where something could happen, and something is. So one question I do get asked a lot, outside of the Q&A kind of questions that we have, is more, how do you, you know, what's the process with the podcast? What do you use? What's your approach? Stuff like that. And it's one that I can tell you, once I decided I wanted to do it, there was a lot of research I went into doing it. You know, what kind of setup do you need? What works best to edit all the sound and get things going? And at first, the big out there kind of thought process was, hey, I want to do this podcast. I want to have a video podcast. I'll get the YouTube channel going. I'll have all this fun stuff, have all my friends on, and we just record a conversation. It's going to be great. Then came a time where I had to start looking at, okay, buying equipment, getting that stuff ready. I use an Apple computer that we record everything on through GarageBand, and it was, I don't really like Apple products. I think they're overpriced, but I do know that when it comes to video and audio editing tools, Apple's the way to go. There isn't really anything on a PC that can rival any of the power that a Mac can do for that. So I had to go out and I had to buy a Mac. I am a kind of person, I don't like spending that much money on something if I know there's an alternative, not necessarily a cheaper alternative, but something that is just as useful, just as effective, for a fraction of the cost. For example, I love using Chromebooks as my, you know, gateway, as my primary computer. Chromebooks are awesome in that everything's tailored for web usage, for Google usage. And that's what I use a lot of. Like, I don't really play that many computer game, you know, video games on the computer. That's more like I'll play that on Nintendo and like that kind of systems. Because PC gaming is something that just really doesn't appeal to me too much, like the whole online aspect and everything there. Like, unless I had hours to dedicate myself to it, I really wasn't going to get anywhere. Like, looking at, like, I'm not a WoW player. I've never touched World of Warcraft. I played Warcraft 2 and Warcraft 3 way back when, and Diablos. I like all the Diablo games, but I haven't played any of the online versions of those games, just because it's, I feel like an amateur going up against a pro, and just, I would get my butt kicked on the internet, or the online version of gaming so bad that it wasn't going to be enjoyable for me. So I just never really got into it. Plus, with, like, you know, PlayStation coming out with some really great games, and Nintendo having all the success they had with, like, the different systems throughout the years, that appealed to me more. So, knowing all that, when I had to go out and I had to spend, I ended up finding the Apple computer for, it's just a laptop, MacBook Pro laptop. I ended up spending $800 at a pawn shop for it, which was a lot of money for me and made me really nervous, because I was like, I haven't spent this much money on any kind of electronic equipment ever, if at all, since like when I first got like my very first Dell computer or something years ago. So it made me really nervous, but it's worked out great. Eric Braun, who's been on the podcast before, helped me in finding the microphones that would work best. Went through a couple rounds of getting a microphone, trying it out, returning it, and, you know, just getting a better one. Because at first, I think I just bought some cheap ones off Amazon, and we listened to it, and he just shook his head at me and said, no, return all this. We're going to get you this instead. So we have a little studio. We have three microphones going. There is a fourth one that we just recently purchased, as well as a mixing board that all four can plug into, and we're in the process of getting that set up. So, you know, before, when things first started, I've always had my own microphone, and then either Gail would have to share a microphone with someone, or we'd have, you know, two not-so-good microphones compared to the one good microphone I had. And that's changed now, and we've got four good ones, all going into a mixing board that it's working out great. All the different cable wires, the microphone stands, the computer, the time to learn it all and to learn how to edit it and how to make it sound good and what, you know, kind of style concept to have. Before we even released any of the podcasts, we went through about, 3 to 4 test episodes where we would test out all the equipment, we bought video cameras for like the YouTube portion, so we were testing out how to edit all that together. Doing all this testing, we found the kind of format that we like, where we talk a little bit about Austin at first, or, you know, introduce whoever the guest is on that week that we have. Then we get into a debate about anything. We gravitated toward the stuff we knew with video games and with movies and music. But, you know, we've had Alex was on the last podcast talking about, you know, TV chefs. I mean, if it's anything that can have a debate or have a position, we'll have a debate on it during that kind of segment. And then the third part then is just of the standard format for the podcast is just whatever conversation goes. If we, you know, hit a few good things in the debate and we just sort of expand on it a little bit, we'll expand on it. Or if we have, you know, something else that we want to bring up and talk about, we'll bring that up and talk about it. We have it pretty loose base, so that way, I don't want the podcast really to come across as an interview so much as it's just, hey, we're having a conversation, we're finding out about each other through just the natural workings of a conversation. To me, that kind of approach is more entertaining and you get more from that. And I hope that everybody does enjoy that as well on that side. As you can obviously tell, we cut down tremendously. If you pay any attention at all to the YouTube channel, we've cut down tremendously on the YouTube output stuff, because we've pretty much decided just to stop recording the video for it because we had too much to do. Taking the time to edit all the sounds, to get everything together, all the post-production after recording with someone, there were hours put into it, which was something I knew and I expected. And I thought, okay, we could still do that. We could still have, you know, two shows a week. We could still, you know, hit all these spots and we're going to be fine. It's a little bit more draining and sometimes you need a break. So with that in mind, we've actually got, and I'm going to be posting this up probably on the website, definitely on the Facebook page, but we've got this announcement that we're doing, whereas we're scaling back a little bit so that way we can do more. We're going to keep the podcast going, but instead of it being out twice a week, we're going to do it just once a week. That time then itself is going to allow us to be able to do more creative goodies, more or less, with the podcast. When I say creative goodies, I'm talking about scripted radio drama kind of thing going on, where we write some original material and then have that be like the second episode of the podcast that week or something. Which, you know, you got to gather up people to do that, get a good story going. There's a lot of work that has to be done with that. Also going down to just one episode a week will allow us the time to be able to do more with the YouTube channel. Well, and this is something I've got everything, all the video that we've recorded is all on a drive. And now I'm going to try to focus some time just to be able to edit it and put that together. Something that, you know, you can then see how we are here in the studio with each other, where there are some good visual cues and gags. One of the things, like, you'll always hear me tell Murren or tell the guests, I this is a audio thing. People can't see what we're doing. Meanwhile, I'm just giving Murren the finger the entire time I'm doing it. There's little things like that that you'll be able to see visually that we want to get and sort of put, sort of bring the YouTube channel to, you know, show some of the more best, the better kind of arguments and stuff like that, or the better topics we've talked about, and have more of that video entertainment for those. That for the most part, that's, you know, doing two shows a week is fine. We can have the time to schedule and bring people on. Like, getting it going with that is not a problem, but it's really time consuming. And there's some other creative things that I want to do with this podcast that hopefully you'll find entertaining and find enjoyable. That's something I'm looking forward to. You'll be hearing more as we announce it. As always, if you follow the fan page that we've got on Facebook, Jet Theory Radio, and this is where I'm going to slowly try to segue into pimping out our social media and wrap things up. So follow us on Twitter, on Instagram. Our handle is at Jet Theory Radio, JETT Theory Radio. We have the website, jettheoryradio.com. Come visit that. We're going to have some special announcements and all that posted there. You're going to start to see more writing content there. And, like, we're going to use that blog feature a little bit more over there to follow up either on, like, some old discussions that we had, a little bit of a follow-up, maybe clarifications or something on there. Not quite sure, but I know that is going to be an outlet used as well. And you know, if this is something that you're enjoying, like everything, like us on Facebook, like us on the iTunes channel, wherever you go to listen to it, show your support, share, subscribe to all the different social media handles, all that fun stuff. Let us know what's really working, what's enjoying it. Send questions our way. I mean, if there's something that you think, you know, might be helpful or might be something good to talk about, let us know. If if there's a particular episode where you're like, yeah, this is a really spot on one, you guys did really great, you know, review it on iTunes so that way other people can start to pick it up and we can start to be a part. You know, the ratings we have, the more reviews that are done there, that's more that people can then pick up on and then think, hey, I'll give this podcast a listen to. Outside of that, I guess we'll do what we do with every podcast, whereas where I say, James, take us home, and James isn't necessarily here all the time, but he's got a bunch of different recordings where he's gotten some outros for us that sound really good. I enjoy them, and it was one of those things that we didn't plan on having until we did one of the test podcasts, and he did it at the end, and we're like, that works. Let's go with that. So On that note, then, James, take us home.